Blessed good evening to each of you. We're glad that you're here tonight and that we have this opportunity once again to study from God's Word. I appreciate your presence and your heart and your desire to learn more of God's will for you in your life. I will have more to say about this congregation and those that we have shared time together with, but tonight I want for us to just get right into the lesson. There are several things that I like to cover with the time that has been provided, and I want us to look into God's Word. And before we prepare our hearts and our minds, let us go to our Heavenly Father, giving thanks to Him for this opportunity. Our Father, we thank You for this time that we have together to break open the bread of life and to study from Your Word. As the psalmist says, Father God, we rejoice in the fact that we have Your Word. How that Your Word, Father, is sweeter than honey. How that Your Word guides us in a dark and chaotic world. How Your Word teaches us and convicts us each and every day as we stand before it and read it, Father. It helps us to know who we are, where we're going, and what we can expect, Father, when we leave from this life. Most importantly, Father, it is true. We believe it. And Father, we thank Your Son for making it all possible, coming to this earth and providing us with hope. So tonight, Father, we pray that we will free our minds from any distractions and that we will give our hearts diligently to You as we study from that Word. For this is our prayer in Jesus' most holy and blessed name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to be talking about truth and reason. There are a lot of individuals who say, give me truth. And there are those who would say, I believe I have the truth, that they stand on the truth. Brethren, I believe we have the truth. And I believe that as you are introduced to the truth requires you to do a few things. First of all, it requires you to process that which you are receiving and to make certain that what you have is in accordance with the truth. There are so many individuals in the world today that say that they have truth, but they have never searched to make sure that it was according to that which was delivered by God, i.e. the Bible. When we're talking about truth, there are people who say that it doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you love God, then that's okay. When you think about that question, and you compare it to the Word of God, is that true? Is it true that as long as you believe in God, that it doesn't matter whether you will have the truth or not, just because you're sincere, does it make it right? Others say we are all going to get to heaven. We're going to heaven, but by different roads. Is that true? Does the Bible reveal that it doesn't matter where we're going on this path to heaven, so long as you love God and that you are sincere about your belief in God, everything will fall in line. Is that truth? Well, friends, something that I know as you study the Word of God concerning truth is this. Truth is absolute. Truth is not relative. You see, when God gave us the Word through the Holy Spirit, He never said that we can update it, that we can change it, that we can allow culture to define it. But there are those in the world today who believes that truth is relative, subjective, if you will. But the Bible shows us, or relative, but the Bible teaches that truth is subjective. If you will, I'm confusing myself. Truth is a set standard, is objective, is the word I'm looking for. It's not subjective, as so many people believe. And because of that, there has been so many misunderstandings concerning the Bible, concerning Christianity, wherein there's so many that are falling by the wayside because of the misunderstanding concerning truth. Something else that we need to know about truth. And that is, truth is knowable. God has conveyed His Word, His message to us, in a form in which we can understand. But each of us must go to the scriptures. But you know what I've learned over the years? Many people can't handle the truth. And because they can't handle the truth, they will reject the truth. And that is true among some Christians. That when you show someone from the Word of God, and they're forced to this conclusion that this particular thing is right, there are those who reject the truth simply because they cannot handle it. Well, tonight we want to look at some things that keep people away from the truth. But before we do that, let us continue in our understanding concerning the characteristics of truth. And the first thing we need to realize is that Jesus says that you can know the truth and the truth will set you free. Do you believe that? It doesn't matter concerning all of the confusion that we have before us in our day and time. All of the confusion that the apostles had in their day and time. All of the confusion that was among God and his disciples when he was on earth. Jesus declared that we can know the truth and the truth can set us free. And so then, once we discover the truth, as the psalmist or the writer of the book of Proverbs tells us, that we're to buy the truth and sell it not. It doesn't matter what Satan may offer us for it. Once we have discovered the truth, good people, we need to hold on to it. We need to stand for it. Because there are those who will sell out to false ideas and doctrines and notions that is not taught in the Word of God. Those of us who are looking for truth, I want you to know that we can discover it. And once we have discovered the truth, we need to hold the truth near us and stand on the truth. For by doing this, we will free ourselves. For the Bible tells us that truth, it is the Word of God that frees, sanctifies, and purifies our soul. Yes, Jesus prayed before going to the cross. There in John 17:17, he had said to the Father, sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. The Word of God set us apart from error. The Word of God will purify our souls. And when Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, he said that they were purified. Why? Because their belief in the truth. So not only we can know the truth, but the truth can set us apart from error. The truth can purify our souls. But you know what? Knowing the truth is not enough. As we suggest, you must obey the truth. You can believe it all day long. But the question, good folks, is this. Once you have discovered the truth, are you willing to obey it? But there are a lot of folks who will not. Why? Because they don't want to practice the truth. We can discover the truth. We can believe in the truth. But we are commissioned to walk according to truth. John said that he was impressed by the fact that there was some of them who were walking in truth. God is impressed with us when we walk in truth. But let me tell you something. Satan has a good way of trying to embarrass us about that. He don't want us to believe that there is one church. He don't want us to believe that there is a set standard as to how we are to worship God. And we get embarrassed because of that. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit revealed through John that God rejoices when we walk in the truth. And that's what John said, that he was impressed that they practiced the truth. They had the truth, but they walked in it. It was not enough just to believe it, folks. And when we walk in truth, that means that we have to oppose error. And sometimes we will become enemies of people because we stand for truth. And in fact, Paul asked this question to the Ephesians there, to the Galatians in Galatians 4 and verse 16. Have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? Some people will not be pleased with you in a loving and compassionate way when you share the gospel. There are many individuals who will hate you be upset at you because you share the truth with them? Have you become their enemy? None of us want to be enemies with our neighbors. None of us want to be enemies with those who we work with. But the fact of the matter is this. When you discover truth, you will become an enemy of some folks. Not because of the way you act. Hopefully, as Christians, we're acting respectably. And we're careful as to how we present the truth. Nevertheless, we need not to try to shy away from the truth. And so there are those who will become our enemy. In fact, when Paul stood face to face with the Apostle Peter, who was not in step with the truth, he corrected this man. And we see that Peter's attitude was right, wherein that later we find he is recognized as an elder in the church there in 1 Peter 5. So don't be afraid of confronting error. Don't be afraid of talking to people concerning the truth and spread the truth. But I want to tell you, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you always love the truth. Because we are a child of God, sometimes we fall out of love with truth and want to do things our way. You know, as we come to 2 Thessalonians, the Bible students are turning there. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, you remember, this is a passage that we looked at earlier this week. And you remember how that we are told that so many will perish. So many will perish. And what is the reason? 2 Thessalonians, the 10th chapter. If you will, the second chapter, picking up at verse number 10, the Bible says, when he comes on that day, or I'm reading chapter 1, chapter 2, here we go. And with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, why they're perishing? Because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So many people want to hold on to some teaching because of the brotherhood. So many people want to walk in truth because of mother or father. The Bible says this, that sometimes you have to stand alone. And those who truly love the truth will be saved. But those who refuse to love the truth will be condemned. Look at verse number 11. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion, so that they may believe what is false. Brother, let me tell you something tonight. You may believe the truth. You may be standing in the truth. But the moment you fall out of love with the truth, I'm here to tell you that God will allow you to believe a lie. We have to stay in love with the truth no matter what. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, the only way that you're going to be saved is by having a love for the truth. And so then, there's no wonder when we read in God's word that everything that we believe must be measured by his word. For the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. Can we know the difference between that which is good and that which is not good? Yes, we can. The Bible further tells us, now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Is this our attitude? When we discover truth, do we reason? You see, Christianity is an intellectual religion. It's not of this gushy, hot, flowing, pumpy stuff that people are often being told today. I'm sorry. Mr. Alstein has some 40,000 people plus that fills his arena every Sunday and any other opportunity that come together. But I want to tell you, it's not because of truth that they're there. They're there because of the good, fluffy stuff that is not gospel. But those of us who want to know the truth, doesn't matter what Don Wright says, you're going to search the scriptures. It doesn't matter what the elder said, you're going to search the scriptures. It doesn't matter what Fred said all of this week, you're going to search the scriptures to make sure that what you believe is according to the truth. And so then John says of our brethren so long ago, he said, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Why not, John? But test the spirit to see whether they are from God because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Listen, there's so many people today who are quitting, who refuse to test. I've been a Christian 30 years, so I believe that it's okay. It's all right. There are those in the church today that are accepting error. And the reason is not that they can't know, it's because they failed to test it. If you introduce something to them that is not according to the word of God, they get afraid and say, no. I don't need to hear that. We've been doing this so long, then we don't need to change. But that's not the attitude we are to have. The Bible tells us that we got to test everything. I have to test everything. And notice it didn't say using the commentary. Test every spirit. How? By looking to the scriptures, looking to the word of God. But I want to tell you, there's some attitudes that will prevent people from discovering the truth and that will prevent people from reasoning properly. And some of these standards contradicts and always will contradict God's word when we accept something other than the word of God. You know, there are those who say, well, what about our church creed? Our church creed says this or that. But friends, your church creed is no match when we're talking about the word of God. In fact, Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 16, 2 Timothy, the third chapter, when he tells us about the truth in the word of God and the ability that the word of God has, he says at verse 16, all scriptures is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Did you get that? The creeds of mankind always evolve, but the word of God never. The word of God is always true from the time that the inspired men penned the word of God. It would always be true. Never need to be updated. We need to understand that the word of God is sufficient. Out with the councils. Out with the general assemblies. Let us accept the word of God. It doesn't matter what your parents says. This is another hindrance to the truth. Because of mom and dad and grandpa. Listen, folks, the Bible tells us in Romans 14 that we all will have to give an account to God. We're going to stand before God, and God is not going to measure us based on what our parents has done. It's going to be based on our acceptance of the word of God. And we have to understand this. Some people never come to the truth because they look to the majority. They say, well, look at all these people. There's no way these people can be lost. But the Lord says otherwise. He says, narrow is the gate. When will we learn that? Why be concerned about the broad way? Let me get on the narrow path. Be walking according to the steps that Jesus has ordered me. I can't be concerned about the whole world. I only can be concerned about myself. And then as I have opportunity, I will try to convince somebody else. But truth is not determined based on the size of the congregation or the growth of some religious group. But if you listen to the world, if you listen to the television pundits, you will believe that, well, we're nobody. We don't mean much because we're a small minority group. And they have all hateful things that they say about the people of God who want to stand on truth. But don't be ashamed. Truth is not determined based on that. A lot of folks want the truth, but they're not reasoning correctly. Because they're looking to human creeds, looking to parents, and looking to the majority, or they're looking to what the preacher says. Jesus says, be careful because the blind leads the blind and both will fall into the ditch. And why? Because the blind never checked out the preacher. The blind never checked out what was said in the bulletin or what is being taught in the articles. There are many that Jesus said was leading God's people astray. And today there are many who are leading God's people astray. We are not just to believe it because it sounds good. I hope that you've been encouraged and edified tonight and throughout this week. But I hope and pray that more importantly, you have been listening carefully and looking to the scriptures to make certain that what you're receiving, what you're hearing is in fact according to the Word of God. It's refreshing to hear all of the Bible students here tonight turning in their Bibles as we turn to the scriptures and read them. But a lot of people who stay away from truth and they do not reason properly is because of their own preference. Like in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, how that the people of God begin to do everything according to their own desires. They did what was right in their own eyes. Listen, in America, this idea of doing what is right in your own eyes is a doctrine that a lot of people are accepting. We can never have that attitude. Never be so arrogant to look up to God and say, I have the right to do this or that. We need to understand that our ways are not God's ways. That the way of man always leads to destruction. Jeremiah said that long ago. And only if millions and millions of people will come to this understanding, they will soon realize that the ways of man is the ways of death. And so these ideas, these standards of authority keep people away from truth and properly reasoning as it ought to. And as you think of this, there are some attitudes and principles out there that people accept that keep them away from reasoning properly. One of the things is it doesn't matter or it doesn't make any difference what you believe. But the question that I have to ask someone when they say that is, do you truly believe that? Because actually, it does make a difference. You don't believe that it doesn't make any difference, do you? If you do, let me ask you this question. Does it make any difference whether you believe there is a God? Do you? Because you know the Bible says the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Now, do you believe that or don't you? Does that make a difference whether you believe that there is a God? Does it? Because you know the Bible says that the wrath of God will be revealed upon all of those who would try to suppress the truth. This is truth. The truth is that there is a God. Do you believe it? Do you believe that it makes no difference? Well, the bottom line is this. Most individuals who are religious and believe that there is a God actually don't believe this, that it makes no difference what you believe. For the fact of the matter is this, the atheist believes it makes a difference if you pray to God in school. Others believe it makes a difference if you deny them the right to marry. When people say it doesn't make any difference, what this shows us is that it is an argument, a convenient excuse to avoid confrontation or having to defend what you believe. Or expending the effort and difficulty to discerning truth from error. No one really believes this. In fact, if it is so dear to you, you will do all that you can to prove to someone why you believe what you believe. You see, we don't do that in any ordinary walks of life. If the IRS sends you a tax receipt saying that you owe this amount, would you then write them a letter that says, it doesn't make any difference? If the doctor tells you that you have to take this specific medicine to target this specific disease, would you dare tell the doctor it doesn't make any difference? If you're on the road and you're at a stop sign and you say, well, it doesn't make any difference whether I stop at this stop sign or not, would you do that? Even in general things concerning our walk in life, we understand that this argument doesn't stand. But somehow we have been led to believe that we can have this attitude when it comes to the will of God. But this attitude, listen, that it doesn't make any difference keeps people away from truth and proper reasoning. And I will tell you, brethren, even among us, God's people, we have this attitude that it doesn't make any difference. And if we have that attitude, it will always keep us away from unity. It will always keep us away from reasoning properly. We must reason according to truth, not according to our feelings. Another attitude, someone says, well, as long as you believe in Christ, it doesn't make any difference which church you are a part of. Well, sir, ma'am, let me ask you this. Does it make a difference whether you are worshiping in vain? Oh, absolutely, Fred. I don't want to worship God in vain. Well, if your answer is that makes a difference, that you worship God properly, then it makes a difference which church you are part of. For in fact, the Lord said in Matthew 15:9, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Would you be a part of a group that is teaching something that is proven to be from man? Could you be a part of some group of individuals who are worshiping God falsely? It makes a difference. We need to stop saying that. And by the way, where do you find this idea in the Word of God? You're telling me it doesn't make any difference, but when I look to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit taught that it made a difference. The Holy Spirit taught us that there is one body as we look at Ephesians 4 and verse 4. The Holy Spirit says that Christ is the head of the body, which is the church, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. And that one must be baptized into the one body, the church, in order to be saved, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. This is what the Holy Spirit teaches. There's only one. Doesn't make any difference. Reason now. Reason according to truth. I don't want you to reason according to what mama says. I don't want you to reason according to what your preacher says. I don't want you to reason according to what is popular. I want you to reason according to truth. What if I told you that Philip was a Baptist, Paul was a Lutheran, Bob Marley who was a Catholic, Peter was a Seventh-day Adventist, Thomas was a Methodist, James was a Presbyterian, Matthew was a Mormon, John was a Nazarene, Thaddeus was a Jehovah's Witness, Stephen was a Mennonite, Aquila and Priscilla were Pentecostals, and the Ethiopian eunuch was a member of the Salvation Army. Would you believe me? Can I prove it from the scriptures? I couldn't prove that from the scriptures if you paid me $1 million. And nobody else could. But people go around believing that you can accept this as being a part of any of these religious organizations as if it's a part of truth. When the fact of the matter, it is not. When you reason and you study from the scriptures, you have to ask the question, is the American Baptist Church a part of that one body that we read of in Ephesians chapter 4? When we look to the scriptures, we're going to ask ourselves, is the Catholic Church, is the Christian Church that began in Midway, Kentucky, by a group of individuals in 1859, is it a part of that one body? Is it? When you look at this chart and these individuals, do they represent the one body? I have more. What about the Church of God, the holiness? Does this group describes the one body that we read about? What about the evangelical church there in Pennsylvania in 1803? Does it describe the one body that we read about? I have more. All of these different bodies and groups started by different people accept different doctrines. Does it describe the one body? I have more. What about the Lutheran church? What about the Methodist church? What about the Mormon church? I have more. Does it describe the one body that we read about in scriptures? Reason now. When you reason, I want you to reason according to truth. I have more. What about the Salvation Army or the Seventh-day Adventist church, the spiritualist church? Reason now. Is it that one body that we have to be baptized into? Because as we look at these different organizations, there are many different bodies here. Reason, I have more. What about the Word of Faith movement?
Does that describe the one body that we read of in the Word of God? I want you to reason according to truth and not based on emotions. But there's so many people who stay away from the truth because they fail to reason according to the truth. And thus, there are so many things that people do and excuses that they use to prevent them from discovering the truth. And one thing that people do that you often find among individuals when you begin to study and show that there is such a thing as truth, there are people who will say, well, it's unchristian to argue about the Bible. But when you look up the word argue, it simply means to put forth reason for or against, to attempt to prove by reasoning, to give evidence of, to persuade or influence by presenting reasons. That's not a dirty word. Oh, if you're talking about someone who's trying to character assassinate someone, who's trying to be so overbearing and so hateful, that's not what the Christian is to do, but the Christian is to argue. Did you know that? We're to put forth reason why we believe what we believe. Jesus argued with Satan, didn't he? It's not bread alone that man should live. By the word of God, he is to live. Did Jesus put forth reasons? Did he try to persuade? What about Stephen? Did he try to reason, put forth arguments to persuade his brethren that they were stiff-necked, that they turned away from God? Yes, sir, he did. What about the Apostle Paul? What about him? He did. He reasoned. In fact, we are commanded to argue. Look with me there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter, the third chapter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible tells us that we are to argue, good folks. Where in the scripture reads, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Did you see that? Be prepared to give what? A defense, to put forth reasons for or against, to attempt to prove by reasoning, to give evidence as to why you believe what you believe, to persuade or influence someone by presenting reasons why you believe. But how are we to do it? How are we to argue, folks? How are we to argue? Here's how we're to argue. He tells us, get it, please. Get it. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. We're to argue. Don't let someone tell you we're not to argue the Bible. If they use the word properly, we're going to reason, we're going to try to persuade, and we're going to do it with gentleness and respect. We're not going to try to outdo someone with all the biblical knowledge that we have. We're not going to make people feel ashamed or feel like they're idiots. That's not what we're going to do. But in a loving, compassionate way, we're going to present the truth. That's what we're going to do. We're going to try to defend why we believe what we believe. And if we find ourselves to be wrong, we're going to study and we're going to come back and we're going to present reasons. We're going to give a defense as to why we believe what we believe. Folks, we are to argue the scriptures. Someone might say, well, my church or preacher or priest said it is right. But you must remind people that, and we must be reminded that all authority has been given to Christ. All authority. And it doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what the Pope says. He can sit in his chair at the cathedral all day long. He's wrong. He can switch chairs for all I care. He's still wrong. He will always be wrong.
Because that's not the standard by which we judge things. The Bible tells us that there will be many in the first century. There will be some who would depart from the truth. And these were leaders that Paul spoke about. That among you, there will be men who will rise, begin to speak perverse things, drawing away disciples after themselves. So we are not to look to what these leaders are saying. And the Bible tells, matter of fact, that every person has a personal responsibility to test what he hears. Where to test it? If your church said that it was all right for homosexuals to get married, would that make it all right? Well, some churches are saying that. They have said that. They have changed the creed. Their creeds, if you will. But it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right. Someday, let's just say, the elders got together and says, you know what? Instead of having us sing, we're going to have some performance going on here. Some backflips and things like that. We're going to get Don to get up here and do that. Which, I know Don ain't going to do that. He can't do that. That'd be the end of him if he tried it. First of all, I don't think Janice will allow him to do it. But if that was possible, would it make a difference? It doesn't matter what the elders say. And let me say this. Don't ever allow us to disrespect our leaders. We're to honor them. We honor them so long as they're honoring God. The moment that they turn away from God is the moment that we have to say, no, we cannot follow. We can't follow. But we honor these men who have dedicated their life in leading this group of people. And we are to praise God for them. But it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't make it right. We have to stick with the Word of God. This is what makes the New Testament church distinct. Because they follow the Word of God. Even the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul made it clear. If I or an angel from heaven preach to you another gospel which you have not received, let him be accursed. He said in another place, you ought to learn not to think of me or Apollos above that which is written. Never allow us to be so arrogant that we exhort man. Well, there might be someone who cannot reason properly because they say, well, I can't accept any teaching that would mean my mother and grandmother was not saved. I can't accept that. And there are some people who cannot accept truth because they just cannot accept the fact that what they're hearing doesn't purport with what their ancestors once believed. But we got to help people reason through that. We got to say, listen, we cannot come to the truth by that type of reasoning. First and foremost, we need to understand if love for mother is greater than love for Christ and commitment to the truth, then Jesus tells us that we're not worthy of him. He tells us that we're not worthy of him. What you believe or do not believe will not change your loved one's destiny. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer of what we believe in our body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. We all have to stand. By the way, there's an example in the scriptures of someone who went on from this life and was more concerned about his living relatives than his state. Sometimes we are concerned about those who have gone on when it may be that those who have gone on are more concerned about us. You remember the rich man in Luke 16? And he asks Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my brother's house. To my father's house, I have five brothers. You may want your family members to have the opportunity of accepting what you have accepted. But they may be begging God, if it's possible, send someone so that they can understand not to come to this place in which I am. But God has already done it. And you know the impressive thing? When you read the account there in Luke, the 16th chapter, about verse 19, and you continue reading, is the fact that Abraham says they have Moses and the prophets. How in the world did they have Moses and the prophets? Moses was dead a long time ago. They had Moses and the prophets. we have Jesus Christ in the apostles. We don't need any miraculous miracles to be performed. We have Jesus Christ in the apostles before us today. And if men and women would accept just that, they can reason properly and come to the knowledge of truth. But then a lot of folks cannot reason properly because they have this attitude: the witness of the Spirit is in my heart. And so this keeps people away from accepting the truth. But when you read the scriptures, you know, people who heard and understood before they received the gift of the Holy Spirit were saved. They could reason properly. And I believe that the gift here, we can look at it from two perspectives. One, the blessing of eternal life. We receive the gift of the Spirit when we obey. And then there is the promise of guiding us through the Word in order that we may stay faithful to God. And that's a gift. Because without the Word of God, we are lost. We're lost. But what happens is when people rely on the inner feelings, they make their spirit the source of truth, which is something subjective, the final proof, not the scriptures. Therefore, it can serve as proof for any religion. So when we study with people, or if you're here tonight and you believe this, you need to understand that there are other people in other religions that accept this argument. If all sincere believers in Jesus have it, why do all not believe and teach the same thing then? That's my question. If the Mormons have the same standard which they believe, and you have the Pentecostal that believes in the same standard, and some other religious body believe in this same standard, then why aren't you not united? Because you know in Ephesians 4, the Bible says that there is one Spirit. One Spirit, sir. That's it. You mean to tell me the Spirit is going to be teaching one contradicting doctrine over here to this group, and then he's teaching another contradicting doctrine over here to this group, and he's teaching another contradicting doctrine over to this? Who am I to believe? You know a secret? I'll tell you a secret. Let me believe the Spirit, because he has already revealed it to me. Folks, this is just a few things that I have found in studying with people that keep people away from reasoning in order that they may come to truth. And what we have to do is we have to break out of this mindset and to begin to think seriously in order that we discover the words of God. One thing about truth is this: it is always consistent. And there's no error. No error. It's always consistent. We can understand the truth. We know, we understand mathematics, that 1 + 1 will always be 1. Mark my words, 20 years from now, I guarantee you 1 + 1 will always be 1. And although mankind is trying to come up with all types of ways and answers and trying to make things more subjective, it's a mathematical truth that 1 + 1 is always 1. Biologically, there is a biological truth that when we're born, we're either male or female. That's always going to be true. Did I say 1 + 1 is? I just thought about that. I don't know what I said, but you know it wasn't true. Your reasoning, I appreciate that. But nevertheless, you got my point. I don't know what I said. You got to go back and listen to the tape. But the fact of the matter is this, folks. There's simple things in life that we accept. And we know that it is a set standard. Empirical evidence have led us to believe that we can't change it. There is spiritual empirical evidence that we have that reveals truth to us, good folks. And so then that means that all doctrine, when we're studying with folks, they need to understand that all doctrine, all beliefs must be measured by the Word of God, God's revealed truth. And that's the only way we're going to come to a proper reasoning, a proper understanding. I leave you with the understanding that the Word of God is inspired. It was given by God. And we need to know that it is. We need to study. And if you don't know that how to teach people that the Word of God is inspired, you need to get to studying this. And how that we have today in our possession the Word of God. We must understand that the Word of God must never be altered. That the Word of God needs not to be added to nor subtracted from or changed in any way. Why? Because it will be the Word that we will be judged in the last day. And so all of us need to always have the mindset that I'm in search for truth. And when you search for the truth and you reason according to the truth, I guarantee you, you will discover the truth. That's the truth. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this time that we've had tonight, to come and to study from a portion of your word. Father, this is a timely lesson that is so needed in our day and time. Because we have been led to believe that truth is something that some church decides based on our appetite for religion. But the truth of the matter is this, that long ago your son died for truth, and that he's said to his apostles that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them and guide them in all truth. And those of us who are Bible students, who read the scriptures, learn of this truth. And we believe, Father, that we have before us your word, and we can know the truth. But we must spend time with it. We must study it on a daily basis. We must remove from our minds any preconceived ideas and notions that will lead us astray. Most importantly, Father, we have to have a love for the truth. And sometimes by having a love and standing for the truth will cause us to have enemies. But never, never let us sell the truth. Let us always be willing to diligently search for the truth. And stand upon that. For it's your word which is true, which will judge us in the last day. So help us to maintain that attitude all the days of our life. And only then can we reason according to truth. For this is our prayer that we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. We now come to this portion of our time together to extend God's gracious invitation. Tonight, we spent a certain amount of time talking about truth and reason. And I want you to listen as you reason tonight concerning your condition and where you are. The Bible teaches, as we saw tonight, that there is one body. The Bible teaches that by faith, we are baptized into that one body. It was the Apostle Paul who said that we all become sons and daughters of God. We all become a part of that one family. When he said that, for in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God through faith. For you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, get it. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male and female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. That's what the truth reveals. Our Lord died to make those who believe in him one. You can become a son or daughter of the Lord tonight by an obedient faith and being immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. Truth will free you. it will free you from the shackles of sin. And for the Christian, it would free you from living a life that contradicts truth. Maybe you have bought into some lie. Well, you can use this opportunity tonight to change that and begin to accept truth again by praying to God and asking for forgiveness. I don't know where you are, but He does. Don't allow pride to keep you away from accepting the truth and being obedient to it tonight. So as we open up our hymn books to number 348, hopefully you're more than almost persuaded, but you truly are persuaded. And if that be the case, we encourage you to come now as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.